So I'm going to leave a picture up on the screen here, and the message is going to be on the screen up here. And there's going to be some objects that come up on this screen, and we're going to refer to that so that we can answer the questions on those objects, all right? So if you're looking for a reference point to what comes up on there, this is a constant reference point, okay? Because we are asking the question, how has God designed man? What does it mean to be human? And last week we looked at the fact that that God has created us body, soul, and spirit. And we asked a question too, a pretty confronting question, as to why do people crash and burn? And is it possible that in the design that God has made man, that if we keep within that design, we can avoid the sad consequences? If you look at, there's a common thread in all of these people. Some of you know that some of these people, some of you don't. Okay, but the startling thing with this is they were all very talented, or either good looking, great sportsmen, great artists, or whatever. They had wealth, they had everything. Unfortunately, they all committed suicide. Okay, and I can't just let that happen without asking God why. It's a tragedy. And I can't see that happen without, if I can just help one person to avoid that tragedy, I feel like my life would be worthwhile. And although we're not God, we don't have all the answers, we can peer, we can delve, we can look into Scripture and ask some of these questions from a point of view of how God has designed us. Okay? So we learned that we are a triune man. Okay? God said, let us make man in our image, okay? And his image is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And so man is trichotomous as compared to animals, which are dichotomous. We are triune in the nature like God's image, body, soul, and spirit, which is illustrated a bit more over there, okay? And then Murray took us through Scripture and talked about Scripture, how Scripture is designed, and then I'm just delving into what Murray shared. He mentioned the fact that some of Scripture is prophetic, some of it is poetic, some of the books are wisdom books, and I want you to connect the two, okay, the design of man and the design of Scripture. And so suddenly we realize that poetry is defined as a type of literature or artistic writing that tries to appeal to the reader's emotions and imagination. And so it ministers to the soul. Okay? And then we also find there's books of wisdom. So it's like God's designed books of wisdom to minister to our minds. Okay? And then there's books in the Bible of prophecy, and prophecies often confront us with our sin. And we learnt last week that our spirit is where our conscience dwells. And so God's word also speaks to our sin, our condition of our hearts. And so we can see that the design of Scripture is specifically designed to speak to the design of man. And I don't know if you noticed in the reading that Heather shared, what did it just happen to say? The greatest commandment was to love the Lord your God. How many ways? Just a coincidence, okay? And so that command says, love the Lord your God, okay? And it doesn't finish there. So we can't live in a vacuum where some people have tried in hideaway places, in caves and all the rest of it, but the command says to love the Lord your God, and also what else? And so the design or the command speaks volumes, okay? How do we fill our vessel? How do we fill our emotional tank? How do we fill our heart so that we can love the unlovable? We do it by loving God, okay? We do it by honoring and worshiping him, but also receiving of his love so that his spirit and his love fills our heart. So now that we have the capacity to do the second part of the command, which is to love. Okay? And without this, you will not be successful this way. Okay? This is designed by God so that we can do this. Okay? And for some of us who feel that God is a faraway, distant God who and don't sense his presence, it's a difficult thing. But the design of that command is so that as we are filled with his love and his presence, we are able to love even the unlovable. Okay? Now, I put up some photos here. Okay? We are created in the image of God. Okay? And I like the top one at the top left the most, because my goodness, if there's a chip off the old block, it's right there, isn't it? I mean, even the stride and the walk is the same, but of course they're both playing golf. Now, if I had a chocolate, and I don't, and I meant to bring a chocolate, and I brought a chocolate over to one of these kids, right? And I love on these kids, Patrick. Who's Daniel? And I love on this kids. What's the father going to feel? Yes, you got it right. But if I beat up this kid, what's the father going to do? He's probably going to come beat me up. You get the connection. Now, if this kid up here on the left, even if he's damaged, even if he's blooded, even if he's fallen in the mud, even if you can't even see the resemblance between the father and the son, he still belongs to where? And sometimes in life we look at people who are damaged and broken and mudded up and we go, I can only see emptiness in them. But we need to realize that they are still created in his image. Okay? And I like this one over here too, because it's... So as we love him, as we are overwhelmed by his presence and his love, what we take here is meant to go here. And we can measure our love for God by how easy or how readily or how able we are able to love the least loving. That's the design that God has given. And then I'm going to race through this because we touched on it last week. Okay, scripture, we find that talks about the soul. It talks about the spirit. The soul 458 times. It references the body. And then, of course, this famous verse in Romans says, to love God as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God, this is your true and proper worship. Okay? So if this is the human being, okay, and you can look into the spiritual, psychological, physiological, if this is man, okay, let's delve a bit deeper. We're only scratching the surface, okay? It took years for me to peel back all the layers that there is in Scripture. I mean, you literally could spend a whole year on this and not unpack all the Scriptures that there is in this. So how does this work? We're going to move, when I get back from Nepal and Nagaland, we're going to move from the question of what does it mean to be human to the question of how do we be healthy? Okay? And we're going to start to travel down that path, okay? And science and theology is just drifting closer and closer together on this whole thing, okay? And we realize that when we go to a doctor and the doctor says, you know, look, your mental health's not too good, they could give you a pill, and they often do give you a pill, but they could also say to you, well, in actual fact, science actually tells us that if you do some exercise, physical exercise, that it starts to have an effect in your body, and it starts to have an effect on how you feel, okay? You hear where we're going here? We've decided what God said about how we're designed, body, soul, and spirit. Now we're taking a step into how do the different parts connect, right? So we are physical. We've got a body. What does that represent? The physical world. We go to work. We've got finances. We've got sports. We've got diets coming out of our ears. But we've also got a relational world, our soul, okay? The intellect, the emotions. Okay, and we have a relational world, which is basically the soul, and we also have a conscience. Okay, and those pictures of celebrities that I put up, did fantastic physically. I don't know if one of you, did you realize one of those photos I put up was the guy from Armani? Aftershave? I had no idea that he committed suicide. You go, everybody would love to have his looks. He's committed suicide. So the physical, relational, and conscience, okay? And so the question we're asking is, are we healthy physically? Are we healthy relationally? And are we healthy? I use this, I did a camp in Lake Lishinawata, whatever it's called. And the greatest bunch of young people to give their hearts to Jesus was at that camp. And the theme of that camp was body, soul, and spirit. And I basically put to them, I said, what does it mean to be healthy? And they went on to get baptized. The world wants to be healthy, but they don't know how to be spiritually healthy because they don't have the message of the gospel, of forgiveness, of cleansing, of washing. Okay? Now, as I said to you last week, I was chairman of a school board for many years, 13 years. And this school, and I'll name it, Hillside Christian School, for 25 years have outstripped all the NAP plans. There was other government primary schools, I think there was three of them in Forest Field. And every time the NAP plan results came out, we 30% better. And not just one year, because we had bright students that year. And the interesting thing is, the chairman of the board, I looked at it and go, how does this work? Because the bad kids in the government sector, who the teachers were giving up, or the parents were, they would come and enroll them in our Christian school as a last chance. You know, maybe this Christian school can fix up this kid. So we had the rough end of society. And yet, constantly, we would outperform all of the government schools. And you ask the question, why? And the only conclusion we could come to is this, is the culture. The culture in terms of the sense of justice, of respect, of self-esteem, of all those things, the scripture had changed the academic outcome of these kids. Okay? And so you can take these building blocks, soul, spirit, and body, into a school. Let's unpack it in the school. What's the school's physical world? It's buildings. Right? You say, every time you have a group of human beings, you have these three things. What about the soul, the relational part of the school? Teachers, children, bullying, no bullying. Yeah? There's a relational part of the school. Spiritual. Well, many government schools have given up on that. But what is that? The conscience, values. Right? If you can look at any organization and measure it by these three things. It's physical world, it's relational world, and it's spiritual world. Just as you can do the same with yourself. Okay? If you're harboring sin in your... Anyway, we'll get there, okay? Do you hear? Okay, let's keep going. And any organization, you can look at it like this, okay? And we looked at that last week. We don't have time to delve into that, but hopefully you got something out of that. And we looked at that too, how these different realms have different laws, different realities. We'll leave that and move on. Okay, so let's... I'm going to play with you a bit, all right? Jesus out of it. So what is that? Relational, spiritual, or physical?
Depends whether you're praying or you're eating.
I deliberately put that up there because I don't know about you, but I've been a Christian a long time, and sometimes I end up with these super spiritual Christians who almost like pray, Lord, would you please direct me as to whether I should have cornflakes or eat? And you just, when you're with those kind of people, you feel this big, you go, what am I missing here? Right? So, we all agree, this is a physical thing. Some like cornflakes, some like wheat bix, right? You're feeling your body, it's so, right, okay? Yes? Okay. Let's move on. The ladies are going to love this one. What about that one?
Physical, relational, or spiritual? Some ladies are already laughing. Now, us men before we were married, we squeezed the church toothpaste, didn't we, wherever we wanted to. And then we got married and we suddenly found out that there is a particular way that you're supposed to do it, right?
And some of us still haven't learnt, have we? And so someone invented that to protect us men from being beaten up.
Toothpaste, physical? Is it just physical? Is it just a thing? Or does it start to spill over? He can never put the top on the toothpaste. He always leaves the top of the toothpaste.
Are you with me? Are you seeing that there's a physical world? But very quickly it knocks onto relational world. And I threw this in just to confuse you. What's that?
Through this lens. Physical? Is it a physical bit of paper? Or is it, does it speak about relationships? Prince Harry and Meghan and... Or is it spiritual? Because it deals with justice, conscience.
Charles' newspaper.
Now we're getting very spiritual.
All right? Are you tracking with me? Okay, now what is wrong with that?
That's a church that has a beautiful physical world. No people, no relationship, nothing spiritual is happening. It is just a shell, right?
And we go, oh, what a wonderful church. Well, in God's eyes, let's have a look at that. What's missing there?
Spiritually, amazing stuff's happening. People are getting healed. Hundreds are coming to Christ. The Holy Spirit is... But what's those black clouds telling us? Are you with me? Right?
Now, what's that? We've talked about that, haven't we? It is a symbol of the presence of God, right? But what happened to it in God's narrative? God built a home. And scriptures, some of you know the scripture, know ye not, know ye not, you are the temple. Know ye not, know ye not, you are the temple.
Temple of the Holy Spirit. Okay? There's a body, there's a place.
Right? There's three realms. Now, what about a church? Are we spiritually well? I got some pushback on this during the week, but
it's a great question to ask at the beginning of a new year. Am I spiritually healthy? How do I know? Can I suggest to you my answer to that is this? How easily and quickly do you say sorry to a person that you've offended? Might indicate the softness, the hardness of your heart. Or how readily or easily are you convicted when you've done sin, you've done something wrong that's offended God? Do we just race on in life and just... Or is there a tenderness, softness, the Holy Spirit pricks, prompts, and we feel it? And if life is designed to worship the Lord this way, so that we can be fruitful this way, how's our marriage? How much are we taking from here and applying it here? You say, Nigel, you're just making this up. Well, I can think of a scripture that says, if you have aught against your brother, leave your happy. I can think of scriptures that say, do you know why your prayers are not being answered? Because I find this stuff fascinating. That God's word speaks into three areas of our lives, and that those three areas are important, and those three areas are a measure of how we're doing.
Right? And science tells us that emotionally, the more healthy we are emotionally, the more physically well we're going to be. So you go to Acts of the Apostles. Come on, it's just the Holy Spirit, isn't it? It's just all Spirit. But then you read passages where they fed the widows. And you go, oh, okay. So what was happening spiritually knocked over and had an effect with the widows being fed. Right? And relationally, we find that they all shared with their goods one with another. And so what was happening spiritually had an immediate effect in their care and their love for one another. You see, spirituality is not just in a closet praying, and what happens in your closet affects the world around you. And you're not convinced? Look at this verse, one of my favorite verses. If you get a Christmas card from me, forgive me, you'll probably get this verse from me, because it's so beautiful. Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in every way and that your body may keep well, even as I know your soul keeps well. Wow. So that means when I get up in the morning and Heather's still in bed and asleep, that I can honor God, even if I've not prayed and opened my Bible, by making a cup of tea and giving a cup of tea to my wife, because as I love my wife, I love God. As I love the most unlovely, I have loved God.
And I need help in that. Because Heather will be the first to tell you that sometimes we get our cup is empty. And look, I've got to put this guy up again because this is so important.
I don't know if you read the newspapers I did. What happened to this guy when he ended up in an affair? What happened to his golf? How many years was he not back around? Oh, it's just a coincidence. It's just a coincidence that crazy stuff happened in his... and something happened to his golf. Right? And so these things matter.
And it's a tragedy to watch. But then as things relationally were repaired, we saw he's back, isn't he? Playing his golf. When the conscience fails, the compass of right and wrong, relationships fail. When relationships fail, business, marriages. When relationships fail, the body is impacted. I'm just amazed that the church has the answer to the deepest issues of life. And why isn't the world flocking here and going, guys, you've got it? What's that? Physical, relational, or spiritual?
It's a building, isn't it? Physical?
Yep. Physical. Yes? All agree it's physical. What is it now? You see, you can't have something wrong in one realm, hatred, without affecting the other realm, the physical world. All of these realms are interconnected. And now I'm going to really play with you, and then I'm going to close because Tim's going to come and do communion. We're running out of time. How do you How do you process stuff like this? Science is waving a flag and saying the scripture is correct. Did you know that you can have, my son's gone and done it, there's a number of things my son's done. You go in these trials and you get a sugar pill, and not the proper pill. And you know, science proves that 30% of the time, the people with the sugar pill get better. So what just happened? This effective, what we put in here, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the... If we're healthy here, we might be healthy here.
And next, when I get back from India, we're going to unpack a whole bunch of scriptures that just come alive with this concept. That we don't just... I'll tease you one out. The paralytic. He gets physically well. And then what's the conversation straight afterwards?